Okay, so we're live. Welcome back to the Magic Minds podcast. I'm Matt Bourke. You're watching and listening to the Liberty's number one podcast. Yup the Liberties, yup the Flats. What is the crack? On the show today, I'm joined by Seán Bourke. Seán, what's the crack?
How are you?
I'm good. Guys, I've asked Seán to come on because Seán is my daughter. Well, I think you are.
I hope so.
I've been paying the dollars the last, 21 years?
Yeah.
So if there's anything going to change, I want the refund of your man. Are you scared? Are you? I've asked Seán to come on because I believe, and we'll talk about this in a few minutes. I believe we have a phenomenal relationship. You know, it's unique, it's special, it's beautiful. Has it been amazing to be part of our life? You know, it's been a roller coaster for all of us, and just want to share it. I want to talk about that. I want to talk about like what it was like growing up as me being our dad, the little adventures we've been on. So I just want to share. We haven't got a clue what we're going to talk about, did we?
No.
Do we?
No plan.
Yeah, that's we literally didn't plan this. I just said, you know what, we spoke the other night. We had a great conversation. Sometimes we come together and we have the chats.
After shaving your heads.
Yeah, Seán is my barber as well. And we'll have a little moan about our mas. We'll have a little whinge. My ma did this. And you were like, my ma did this. And we'd be
like, going back 15 again.
Yeah, so we have a little moan about our mas. But our mas are cool. So here's the question for you, right? How would you describe... I'll describe afterwards and you can describe first. How would you describe our relationship?
I always thought it was like it was good. It was never the normal, but it wasn't so more people were close to their mas than their dads. Like people, my friends and stuff always, not found it strange, but they were like, I'd say, oh, I'm going to do this with my dad, I'm going to pictures with my dad. Like even stuff as simple like that, and people kind of find it a bit strange, like, oh yeah, dad. It was always just normal to me. Like it was never, oh, it's my dad. Like it was just how it was. It was the same as being close to me ma. Like I feel like we were always like able to talk about anything, like literally anything.
That's deadly the way you describe it. And you've told me this before, and that was my plan years ago. You know, obviously I done the Linford Christie on your man.
Yeah.
I legged it off on many mans.
Yeah.
But the shame and all that I had from leaving, the shit feelings about that. And I was like, how am I going to make a contribution in your life? How am I going to have an influence on your life if I'm not going to be there? And that's probably the one thing that I purposely set out to do. Now, I done the door work and I done all these things as you were growing up. But I always made time for us to do things together. Because
yeah.
The one thing I said, you know, when you get older, that we'll have memories together. That we'll have things that we've done that we'll both... And we've done some deadly things together.
And I feel like it probably wouldn't have been the same if we had have lived together and if you and me ma were together, because we'd be like, we were living together, like the way when I was with me ma, we were killing each other or whatever, we'd have our fights. Like, see, we weren't, obviously I'd stay with you, but like I weren't with you 7 days of the week, so it might not have even been as good if we were living together.
Yeah.
You know, it was probably even better that we were separated, you know, and then I had me ma's. And then I had her, you know.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, that's a great point. Because me and your ma used to live together. Remember when me and your ma lived here? All I used to get was fucking oven chips. Oven chips. What else?
Chicken nuggets. Chicken goujons or nuggets. Your selection.
I remember it because the flat didn't look like it did. It didn't look like it does now. And there used to be a table with a window, and I just used to remember, like, fucking, I was miserable as fuck. Not to do with your man, I was just miserable to fuck, because yeah. I was drinking the drugs and all that kind of thing. I just remember, every day was like Groundhog Day, you know, like, get up in the morning, me and your man have an argument. Then, at the end of the day, I'd get the oven chips and the chicken goujons.
Yeah, that's what you get. That was your punishment.
What?
That was your punishment.
Did I ever tell you actually the story? Oh no, I'll come back to the story about the lads and the computer screen. here's the funny thing, and I tell the lads, my mates D and Noel, about that. Me and you, right, we went to all the Pantos, we went to all the Disney on Ice, we went to all the different shows, but you don't remember any of it.
Some of them I do.
Come on.
I don't remember more than I remember less than I... No, I don't remember a few of them. When I got a little bit older, it's more so when I was young, like when I was real young. But as I was getting older then, I remember a few more of them.
Yeah, because my plan was, right, was I'm going to bring her to all the Pantos, going to bring her to see all the Disney on, I was going to da-da-da-da-da. And that will, she'll remember that, and they'll be memory, like, so, but she didn't remember the detail.
Of us going together and all.
Yeah, like, no. Do you remember doing a bailout of Toy Story on Ice one time? We were only there literally 10 seconds and you cried a little
bit. No, thank God I don't remember. No, yeah,
we were only literally there 10 seconds and you start bawling your eyes out.
What, was a Panto?
What? It was like a Disney on Ice kind of thing.
I remember we went to a Disney on Ice actually and we brought Lauren Kelly came with us.
Yeah, no, it wasn't. Oh, no, it was that one. That's the exact one.
And
yeah.
I had the curly hair. Remember yeah, the yeah. beach show and all
oh,
that?
Oh, no, that was it.
That was another one.
That was it.
I was a bit older. Yeah. And yeah. I was a little
12
or something.
Yeah, anyway, yeah, I'll tell you the story about your ma. So I had a computer in the room. In the room. We go out that way. We could go in that way into the room. Not the way I have
at
it
the
now.
Balcony.
Yeah, but these two African guys come over to buy the computer.
Yeah.
And they were going to buy the computer, blah, blah. And I says, yeah, no problem. But one of the chairs where I sit down and have me goujons and me oven chips. Your mum was like, can we take the chair? Because I used to have that for the computer. And I was like, the chair? I was like, that's where I had me frozen chips.
That's where I had me dinner.
And your mum was like, yeah, can we have it for the computer? And I said, okay, I'll tell you what you do. If you do a dance, right? So I had the two African fellas in the sitting room dancing, right? And I was clapping and whistling and your ma walks in. She was like, what the fuck is going on? Because as you know, your ma can be a bit grumpy sometimes.
Oh,
stop. Oh, fucking hell. I was in tears laughing. You can only imagine what she...
I feel like that would still happen to this day. Like,
do you?
Imagine walking in on that.
Come here. Do you remember any of the times that I left or any of that impact that has had on you growing up as a child?
No, never. I always say it. Like, I can't even remember. I don't remember when. I think it was last week, maybe. I was actually talking about this... could have been Megan I was talking to, and I was saying, like, it's mad because a lot of people have, like, kind of a story or like a sad story of when their mom and dad did break up, but I just don't remember that. I just don't remember any of it. Like, I don't, whether I was young or there just was no horrible feelings, like whether it was just fine for me, but I don't have anything like that, because people normally mostly talk about when they're parents break up and they have to, like, pick this person or this person, but I just don't have any of that. I just remember living in Kevin Street with me ma and then going up to my nannies and coming here. Like, it was never any, like, bad feelings or anything. It was just like, that's just what happened. Like,
well, yeah, that's deadly, because when I was in it, like, obviously when I left your ma a couple of times, I'd done a Linford Christie or a Ben Johnson or whatever you want to call me a few times, and I lived with the shame and the guilt and the horrible feeling of that, because I ran away and I thought that would be evident. I thought you'd feel that and experience that.
No, like, and I always try to think back and, like, try to, like, remember, but I just don't. I just don't have it. Like, it wasn't that big enough. Like, it didn't make a big enough impact for me to remember it. Like, because I feel like because we got on so well, like, it wasn't a big deal after. Like, I still seen you, I went to Nanny's, I went to Nanny Kelly's, I went to me Matt, like, I was with everybody. It just wasn't, it didn't stick in my brain, like, as a big thing, like.
Do you know what I found hilarious? You were telling me one day, remember we were talking about adulthood, moving into adulthood, moving from a child to parent, to buying your own clothes and all, where you were like, the reality of that, can we talk about that?
Yeah. Like
you were like, fucking hell, I didn't think I had to do all these things.
Yeah, like, I don't know, I felt like, maybe it was because when I was younger, like, I didn't realise how much people around me, like, done for me, and Nanny and you and whatever, and then all of a sudden when you get older and it's like, oh yeah, you have to get a job now, and when you're done school, like, and all that, and it's like, you just have to do everything by yourself, like, it's a bit...
Because I used to laugh, your ma texts me at Christmas around for money for, like, three pairs of jeans, three clothes sets for
Christmas.
You'd
have to have three sets for every occasion.
Three sets for Christmas, three sets for Stephen's Day, new runners for Stephen's Day and Christmas, iPhones. And I'm like, what the fuck? And then when you obviously turned 18, 19, 20, like now.
Do you know what I actually remember? I remember when I was going, I think I was going away with Megan Spooner and all that. And something happened with the flight or whatever, and I had to get a different flight. I remember I turned out to be like 800 and something euro for the flight, and you were like, that was like just a one-way flight or something. You were like, what? And I just remember in my head going, oh my god, no, don't make a big fuss, please just get me the flight. Thinking now, I'm like, I would not pay 800 euro for a flight, no thank you. Like, and at the time I was like, please just don't do this, just pay for the flight, will you? Now I wouldn't be paying 800 euro for a flight. Probably so.
Should have left you there.
No, like it was something happened with the flight. I ended up booking late, and I just wanted to go. I just wanted to get on the flight and go, and I didn't want any fuss with you and me ma paying. And now I wouldn't be paying 800 euro.
I should have just left you there.
I know, it was for going over. I hadn't got over yet. It was here, like when we were here, we were going. They, like Megan and I booked, and something happened with my flight or whatever. And I ended up having you. It was like 800 euro for another flight.
Yeah, it's fucking mad because like. Yeah, you just had expectations, and rightly so, because you were a kid, you were a teenager. Because I remember you text me one day, what was it? You and your ma were going into, this was hilarious, right? You and your ma were going into the town Christmas shopping, and you were like, give us your credit card, and I'll put it on your credit card, right? And I was like, are they fucking mad, right? And you was like, Dad, just give us your credit card, and we put it all on. I said, love, I'm not giving you my credit card. You and your ma, me ex from like 20 years ago, into town and going shopping spree.
And you know, like now if like Leah or something asked me for my card, she wouldn't get my card.
Yeah. And this is what you see. These are your words. Dad, I don't know what you're doing this little dance for. You do this dance because I was saying, how much is it? What's all this? And you were like, I don't know what you're
doing. Yeah, this is what I mean with the flight. I was like, oh, please don't do this. Just pay for the flight. Like.
But yeah, you were like, Dad, you'll do this dance, but then you just give me the money. Because I used to always say, what's all this about? What do you need after an Alana Lois? And then I had to go through this process.
The cards.
Yeah.
It's just at the time when you're like, it's now looking back, like I get it. But at the time, it's just the worst thing ever. You just want to hand the card, or you just want you to say, I was asking you to go somewhere. I just want you to say, yeah. But now looking back, like I obviously get it. But at the time, it's just like, the worst thing in the world, like your life's ending. Like, I think I remember another time, I remember asking you to go to the roller disco, but instead of the skates, one the night time one for the older crew, like where all the girls were going or whatever. And I remember being like, oh, rattling to ask you, I was like, oh, I don't know if I'll be allowed to go to this. And then you were like, and then I remember thinking, like, oh, please just say yeah. Like, I just wanted you to say yeah. Like, I didn't want that. And you probably would have in the end, but there was always a little, like, what time and this and that. Now looking back, I get it, I do the same, but at the time it was like the worst thing in the world. Like I was like, why is he asking me all these questions, and why is it a big deal? Just say yeah, you're gonna say yeah anyway. But now I get it, obviously.
Yeah.
I'd be the same with my sister or whatever.
Here's the thing, right? We talked about earlier when I asked you how would you describe our relationship, right? For me, my relationship with you changed probably when you were 12, I'd say, right?
Yeah.
Or probably when you got a phone, probably 11, I'm not so sure today, but remember a pinnacle point where you were getting, you had a phone, and me mate, me psycho mate D was saying, did you see, she's here, she's there, and she's all open.
Yeah, we used to be like my little personal My iPhone tracker. Like,
yeah, right?
You didn't even need that on my phone.
So I decided one day, I was like, I want to get the phone, I'm going to check it, and yada yada, I want to check the messages. I don't know if your man texts me or something, but anyway, but I got this epiphany, was like, what am I doing? Robocop, that fucking stop. Like, I went through it, right, from the time you're born to 12 years or whatever years, you cause me no trouble, you don't do anything wrong. Why am I doing this? What's the purpose of this? You know, am I really parenting you or being a father, or am I just being a Robocop? You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
So I said, you know what, I'm gonna trust her, I'm gonna take my hands off the wheel, and I'm just gonna go with it. Whether that be with the phone, because you were going, yeah, it was 12, because you were going into secondary school then.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know what, I'm actually going to trust her.
Yeah. I only have one, I think I have one, like, it's like a vivid memory, like it's not really that clear. I do remember one time something about you saying, checking my phone, but it's not like, I just kind of, you know, a vivid memory in my head, but and then that's it, like I don't remember anything else after that.
Yeah, cause I can remember it's very black and white, right? The parenting that I was practicing to the parenting that I then began to practice.
Yeah, yeah.
I was really like, whatever I say goes, whatever I say, that's the rule, blah, 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 blah. But then I was like, nah, that's not working. Yeah. You know what I mean? That's not going to consolidate our relationship. It's not going to be beneficial. And because I could see it, because you were in tears when I was going on about the phone. I'm going to check your phone and who are you with and where are you going,
yeah,
blah, blah.
Yeah, yeah.
I think I got that from my parent and just watch everything, control everything. And for me then, I think it changed our relationship then going forward.
Yeah. Yeah, because I suppose like if you didn't, like I didn't feel like I had to like, because of before, if you wore like that checking my phone or whatever, I would have been like kind of double check, like double being careful with everything I was doing or going or whatever. But then when you don't have that kind of eye on you, you feel a little bit more like you don't want to go against it, you know what I mean? You're like, oh, they trust me, like I have to be careful or whatever, do you know what I mean? You don't feel as, like you just don't feel like you're being watched, you know what I mean, that way, like.
Yeah.
But then again, sometimes I think if I didn't have that, would I have been as, like, would I have been the way I was, you know what I mean? Like, I feel like if I had that little bit more freedom, like, would I have been a bit more, you know, like, would I have done more?
Oh, okay, you've been a bit more wayward.
Yeah, like, I feel like with you being the way you were, it was a bit, kind of a good thing.
Okay.
Like, you know what I mean? Because me ma wasn't like that. Me ma was kind of soft. She would always kind of give in, and not give in, but she was just more soft than you were. So I feel like if you hadn't been that little bit more strict, like, I don't know, I just feel like I'm a bit more crazy or something. I feel like it's good to have, like, maybe one parent that little bit more strict, because if you have the both parents kind of like...
Do you think I got the balance then okay? I want to say right, but there's nothing
I feel
right
like
wrong.
At first, as you were saying, all the way up until 12, maybe a bit much, but then, after that, as when I went into first year and all that, yeah, I think, the balance was good. Like, I always, even, like, when it came to school, like, I always felt like, oh, I had you, like, in the back of my head, I knew that you, like, you were there, and I know some of my friends didn't have that, so they were a little bit more, like, you know, relaxed in school and stuff. At the time, I was thinking, like, oh, my God, my dad's so strict or whatever, but looking back now, I'm like, if I didn't have that, what, like, do you know, I would have been probably doing, like, not caring about school as much or whatever,
yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, and
then, it was crazy, yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, and we just went out here,
see,
let's go.
Yeah, we just got up and left, we didn't even tell them. Oh, that was wrong, yeah.
Yeah, but look, school days are mad. I just remember years ago as well, as me saying, probably this again, me projecting my parenting from my mom and dad would believe everything. Well, not believe, but the teacher ruled, the big, you know, the white coat, the big man, they know best. And I was like, no, they don't, because I trusted you. There was a part of me like, maybe I should have fucking put more pressure on you. And then the society has the pressure, oh, you know, put pressure on you, you need to go to college, you need to think. And there was times when I felt that, you know, I was trying to project my go back to college because I failed in school and then I went back to college. And I was projecting it because I remember when you told me you were going to work at McDonald's, and then people in the job were saying to me, how's Shauna getting on? For slight seconds, there was a thing in me going, oh, don't tell them, she works at McDonald's. Not that McDonald's is bad. These are my fears of what I was told as a child. You'll end up fucking sweeping the streets. You'll end up working at McDonald's.
Yeah.
Like, this is the worst thing in the world.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I want...
Like, even me, like, I would have that kind of projection in my head just from, like... Stigmas, do you call it, from when you're growing up? It's just like people see it as a bad thing to work at McDonald's. Like, sure, there's a girl that I follow on Instagram and she has like a makeup academy and everything, and that's where she started off, was working at McDonald's. Like, so it's not such a bad thing. Like, and you kind of even have that in your own head when you're going to work there. But like, and then I had to kind of think to myself, I'm working here part time while I'm in college, you know. So
yeah.
You know, it's just stupid kind of things you have in your head growing up from what people say and stuff like that.
And I had them as well.
And that's how long it goes on. Like, if you had that, it's obviously going on for many years, like, through generations of people.
Oh,
like,
100%. And then when you started working there and then obviously going to doing your course, your HCA course, your healthcare assistant course, and working, like, that in itself then fucking absolutely lit me on fire in regards to how proud it was of you. Doing night shift, doing day shift, doing work and things, just phenomenal. But that, it's just that instant, oh Jesus Christ. And then I was like, oh, should I have pushed her harder? You know, she should be going to college, yada, yada, yada. But I wasn't even recognising how well you were doing in life by doing those things, college and...
Yeah, and people just don't see that. Like, people don't see, oh my God, like, this person has gone to college. And then, like, I was doing 5 days in college and nearly 5 days in McDonald's, like, 3 to 11s. And, but people just see, oh, she works in McDonald's or, oh, he works in McDonald's, like, kind of looking down on it. But they don't see that the person, say, going to college 5 days a week, doing 2 night shifts, 3 to 11s, and then studying and doing assignments, like, they just, people just look at, oh, that person works at McDonald's, like, they're obviously doing nothing, or, do you know, that kind of way,
they're
like,
tick,
yeah,
and they're lazy,
yeah, yeah.
And, and did you feel that when you worked there, like, did you get much abuse, like, behind the counter of people, or
no.
Did you experience, did you see other people getting it?
No, not really, like, kind of wasn't like that when you were in there. It's kind of more, it's really just in your own head and what you think people are thinking, and it's not really people, you don't think it about people that you work with or customers. It's more like, it's weird because it's more like people around you, family, friends, like, you think that, like, it's more them you think. It's not really strangers, you don't, like, I never was behind the counter thinking, oh, they're looking at me thinking I'm a dope, because I just really didn't care about that, what customers thought about me. It's more you think in your head, like, oh, what our friends around you think, and our family, or, you know, like that. It's not really just random people, but, like, behind the counter and all, everyone felt the same, but nobody cared, do you know what I mean? It was kind of like, whatever, like, yeah, we all knew that that stigma was there, but it was like, we're all doing our own things. Like, most of the people I worked at in McDonald's were doing degrees and doing college. Like, that is the majority of the people that work at McDonald's. A lot of them are students, and they go to McDonald's to get good English and stuff like that. That was the majority of people I worked with, like.
Daddy, that's impressive. I know you didn't know that. No, I've never been privy to that information.
Yeah.
But
no, like,
now that you're, this, it's all adding up, going, yeah, of course they would be. And people don't see that. People probably don't want to see that. That there's people in there doing night shifts, day shifts, and they're out fucking studying as well.
Some of them have, like, a lot of the people I worked with had just came to Ireland and are, like, left all their family wherever they're from, and they're here working, like, 5-6 days a week and going to college trying to learn English and trying to, like, they didn't have, like, family homes to go home to. They didn't have their ma paying their rent, their dad. Like, they were paying €1,000, €200 a month, like, to live, to learn English, to do all this. Like, people just look behind the counter and see all these stupid people working in McDonald's, so they don't know nothing else with themselves. But it's really like a mile away from the truth. Like, it's really so different in there.
Yeah, that's deadly. I'm glad to hear that. You know, it's it's fucking, it's something we don't see, and we don't add it all up together.
Yeah.
And it's only them when you're in it. And do you have more, stupid question, do you have more appreciation for people that do those jobs, that what people may deem as unimportant jobs or lower down the scale?
Oh yeah, definitely, because like I'd say probably 80% of the time, if not more, the people working there don't want to be working there. They're not working there because, oh, they want to have a career in McDonald's. Like, they're working there because this is just what they're doing in order to get to where they want to get. Like, they need this job, say, for to pay their rent or to pay their college fees, not because they love McDonald's and you want a career there, you know. So definitely, I just have, like, I don't judge as much, like, because I know that the people working there, like what I said, are going to college or whatever, and a lot of time they don't have it easy, the people that are working there. And a lot of time they're not Irish, and they don't have their family to come home to, or like a house to come home to, you know, like that. They go home to on their own, or they go home to, like, and they have to pay for the place that they're staying in, do you know what I mean? So
yeah,
definitely. Yeah,
yeah, absolutely. And I know that feeling, because I used to do door work, and anyone that knows anything about doormen are scumbags. They beat people up, yada yada yada, they're taken. You know, and then I've done that for 7 years while I was in college, but I also had the stigma then of people just thinking you're taken. And I used to tell people, I'm gonna go back to, I'm in college, I'm gonna study. And some people were impressed, and some people just laughed and thought it was a spoofer.
Yeah.
So I understand what you mean. Do you know what I'd love to talk about, if you don't mind, actually? your sexuality.
Definitely.
The way you, can I tell the story, the way it all came out?
Yeah.
Your ma.
This is like another story from when I was younger again, like I was a kid again or something, like me ma ringing you and all.
Oh yeah. I suppose it actually started, I seen you one day, I was gone, it was New Year's Eve, I can't remember what year, I think it was 2016.
It was 17.
I know he was going down the Lamplighter for a few points with Kieran. It was New Year's Day. And I seen you and you're walking with this girl. And the girl kept walking. I called you and you came back.
Was that not going by the side of the flats?
Yeah.
We were going the lane, yeah. And you were coming out on your bike. Oh my God, I remember that. Like, I knew you knew by me face. Like, my whole jaw nearly hit the floor. Like, I remember just being in shock, like, because it was always like, it was just, I think it just was like from when I was younger, like, you know, you living so close. I say I was out when I wasn't supposed to be or something. It was just like that. I just felt like I was young again. I was like just seeing you, like, it was just a pure shock of it. Like, it was mad.
Says to you, I remember clearly, and I don't remember a lot of things, and I says to you, where are you going? And you were all sketchy, right? So I was like, straight away,
I made it worse for myself. I was doing some illegal stuff.
I was actually a bit ashamed because I was like, she's not my daughter, she's shit a lying. Because like, at your age, I was bulletproof. I could lie on the Bible.
Well, I think I was like that with everyone but you. Like, I just think you just crumbled me because you knew, like, I was exactly like you, so you would just know, like, you just knew, like, everyone else. If that was me, ma, I think I would have held a straight face, no bother, like, but. I already thought you knew, like, you know that way. Like.
Oh, I was just looking at her, I was analysing your little facial movements and all. I was like, where are you going? And I said, who's that girl? Who's she? And you're like, oh, that's me friend and all.
And you know all me friends, like, so who's this?
So I was like, I could feel you were dead uncomfortable.
Yeah.
So I let you go. And I went down and I had a point with Kieran. Kieran, it was New Year's Day, Joanne was here and all that. And I said to Kieran, I said, I seen Sean here. And I think I seen her girlfriend. And Kieran goes, our girlfriend, do you think so? And I says, yeah, I actually do, Kieran. Yeah. And he goes, do you? And I goes, yeah. And he goes, how do you? I said, I don't know. I just know her.
I felt like you knew. Like, even though, I don't even know if I was, like, going out with Megan at the time, but I knew you knew, like, already before. Even, like, the minute you stopped me, like, I knew that I wasn't get, like, this wasn't going to go smoothly. Like, he's going to know. Like, I just knew already, like, me face. I just couldn't. It's mad how I can. I remember that so clearly, like,
yeah.
Me face, how I dropped. Like, yeah. It was mad.
So then, I don't know, it went away, or, like, not went away. You weren't gay anymore. You weren't gay for a few months.
No, stop that.
Yeah, it was a phase. So. We didn't talk about it, just went, and then your ma texts me one night, I remember Friday evening, and your ma goes, can you meet me for a chat? And I was like, a fucking chat, what? Like, because I'm obviously strange.
Throwback.
I was like, a chat? Like, what kind of a chat? So obviously I want to know now, what's this chat about? So I'm like, what's the chat about? What can we meet? So like, oh, meet in a dark lane, or meet somewhere? Yeah, ma was dragging it. I says, listen, Rose, for fuck's sake, I says, will you, what's going on? Tell me. And she goes, Sean has a girlfriend, right? So I read it, and Sean has a girlfriend. Okay, what are we meeting for? What do you want to meet me for? Can you just stop back in the agent? She goes, I'm just after telling you. I says, I know you're saying Sean has a girlfriend, but why do you want to meet me? What do you need to tell me?
What's the big thing?
And then she, like, basically spelled it out for me. Sean is gay. Is that all you want to meet me for? Is that it? Is that, like, I thought it was something bad happening or something like that? But your ma was, that's the way she told me. And then obviously then the big rigmarole around, and she's worried about this, I'm worried about that, I'm worried. And I'm like, to me it was dead simple. Yeah, what's like to worry about?
And that's why I was, like, more nervous, because people expect you to have this big story, like, I don't know, people just expect it to be bigger than it is, but I just didn't see it as a big, like, I wouldn't go to you right that now I'm straight, I have a boyfriend.
Okay.
Do you know, so, like, I knew it, like, I just didn't think people, like, I didn't feel, like, I was never scared to tell you because, oh my God, you're going to freak out. I just didn't think it was a big deal.
Okay,
like,
what did you fear? Did you fear my dad, my nanny, or your nanny?
Maybe a little bit, I don't actually really remember, but
well, your ma said that to me. Because your man says to me, I don't know why I've said this to you, but your man was going on about, no, I'm not having a go, but your man, we're just telling the story. She was like, oh, she's worried about your granny, your nanny and granddad.
Maybe
it's because they're into Jesus. They
thrown out of the family, maybe I was at the time a little bit, because they're maybe more old school, like whatever, but I don't remember being like overly. I think I was more worried that like I even had to make it a big, I just never seen it as a big huge thing that I need to like sit down and talk to people and this is it, and I just didn't see it like that. And my mom was more so freaking me out how she was freaked out. Do you know that way, like how she was like, oh, you need to tell it your dad, and like she wouldn't be putting, like, not that she put pressure on me, but she wouldn't be saying that if it was like a boy that I had around, like it wouldn't have been as much pressure to tell everybody. Do you know what I mean? Like I felt like everyone wanted to know just because it was a girl.
Which, do you think that, again, when I'm bashing Rosa or your mama, like that, do you think that she was projecting her fears onto you? That,
yeah, I'd say so, because
she wanted to get it out there.
Probably, yeah, maybe. Because obviously I was my ma's oldest, so this is the first time she ever dealt with anything like that.
And in fairness, though, she handled it really well.
Like she was always like with Megan, like she was always really great with Megan and stuff like that from the very start. It was never anything weird or like that. I think it was just, I don't know, maybe my ma had fears for me or something like
that. 100%. But look, you and I talk about this. I'm a worrier. Your ma's a worrier. Yeah. My ma's a worrier. Me's mom's a worrier. And you grow up. And I was actually very surprised at how bulletproof you were as a kid.
Yeah.
Like, you grew up and, like, if it was pissing rain and here and the ceiling was falling apart, you'd get up and move over there and go, ah, it's grand.
I think because everyone else worried so much, I was like, ah, they'll worry about it.
What words of wisdom would you give for anyone then? Like, you seem to have handled coming out and talking about your sexuality really well. What words of wisdom would you say to teenagers or people?
I just think nobody cares. I just don't think anybody cares as much as you think they do. Like, it's just really not a big deal. Like, people, you think, like, maybe people think in their head, like, oh, what are people going to think? Are they going to say this? Are they going to say that? Even if they do care, I just don't think it matters. We've talked about this all the time, but I grew up to just learn that I just don't really care what other people think, like, because whether you care or not, it's only going to affect you. Like, if people are going to talk and say stuff or whatever, they're going to say it and talk. You can either decide to get affected by it or not, and I just don't, because you're going to do what you want to do anyway, so... I just think in your head that it's not as big as a deal that you think it is. Like, I just never seen, like, people always expect you to have, like, a coming out story or, like, do you know what I mean? Like,
jumped out of the closet.
Me and Megan always make a joke about one night we were lying in my house, and it was the night my ma said it to me, and it was, like, October or something like that, and my ma had come in and real, like, you know, serious, like, Shauna, just... do you have anything to tell me and all of me and Meg were just sitting there like, no. And Megan's like looking at me and like she was like, I didn't know what it's saying.
Did your man say this to you while you were lying in the bed?
We were just sitting there watching a film, like I think we were having food or something, and she like texted me and I just didn't reply to her. I was like, oh, leave that dude.
Did she text you?
I can't even remember what it was. I just remember texting me saying, I don't know whether she asked me to come out or asked me to talk or something.
As in come out to the sitting room?
Come out to the sitting room, yeah. Like, but I was just like, this is how relaxed I was. I just didn't think it was that much of a big deal. I was like, why? Like, what? Why do you want to talk? Like, what is there to talk about? Like, what? It's just because she's a girl. You know, that's how I see it. Maybe people are, like, looking at me going, you're crazy, but why? Like, that's how I felt about it. So I was like, why is she want to have a chat now? Like, I was just like, thought it was strange, but I was like, whatever. So I just ignored the message. We were just sitting there. Then she came in and she's sitting on the bed and she's like, now, like, what do you have to tell me something? I can't even remember clearly, but I just remember, like, her kind of taking it serious. And me and Meg were just looking at each other laughing, kind of, like, we were like, Megan didn't know what to say, and I wasn't saying that. And, like, I don't even know if we were fully together at the time. Like, maybe, like, I don't know, but we're just still talking to her. So I didn't want to say, I don't know what it was. But my mom was real serious about it. So I think that's obviously what spiked me being kind of, we're nervous about telling everyone, because I'm like, oh, is everyone going to do this? Like, is everyone going to sit down and have a chat with me? Like, you know, I just didn't get it. I just didn't get that everyone wanted to make a big deal out of it. Like, even family and stuff, they're like, oh, you have to bring this person to meet this person, and I'm like, oh, it's just not that much of a big deal. Like, I just think if it was a boy or whatever, like, it wouldn't be made this much of a big deal. Like, you don't need to come out and tell everyone you're straight, like, oh, I like boys, like, you know.
Yeah.
I just never seen it as a big deal, so I was just confused when everyone expected me to have this.
Maybe your ma was just was parenting the way I would have parented, was like, this was society you tell you to do.
Yeah,
have
maybe
child.
My ma had
I'd say it was just fear, like
these judgment, like, because obviously as I'm in my age, it's getting more normal, but like maybe your years and my ma's years, that wasn't it. So my ma was obviously projecting what happened when she was younger onto me. She was thinking, oh my god, like, she's gonna get bullied, she's gonna get this, she's gonna get that. Of course, like,
when we grew up, sexuality, like, you do anything outside the norm, like, as a lad, if I wore certain clothes, or you get derogatory comments like, oh, you're a queer, you're a faggot.
Yeah, like, and that's still...
Or to see the way you walk, there's all those homophobic comments. So, yeah, when we grew up in the 80s, it was huge.
To that extent, but, like, that was still present when I was growing up. Like, you'd still get slaggings and stuff like that if girls dressed more boyish, like, they'd be called names and stuff like that. But as I said, like, I didn't really take much effect of what people said to me, like, and I think that stood to me a lot, that I didn't really care what people thought and said. Like, I think that kind of...
Yeah, and you know what? And I have to be honest with you. I was enamoured, proud, blown away, inspired by how you handled it, like, the way you handled it. And I remember going to your teachers one time, and they were telling me, oh, well, worried about her, right? One of them texted me and said that they're worried about you. So I rang her up. I was like, what are you worried about? And she was like, well, I'm worried about. And I says, be very specific. Give me the specifics on what you're worried about, because it's a very big, broad statement. And when you say this to her, I don't know what she's going to think.
Yeah.
So you need to be honest about what you think, you know? And when I think about, they were worried about blah, blah, blah. You went through your leaving cert with your, you know, like, and then your sexuality, and then I was just like, wow.
Yeah, like, and people don't realise that even just school and leaving cert is, like, so much pressure. Like, the teachers put so much pressure on students, like, that this is, like, the... Like, I remember one of the teachers saying, like, that, I can't remember the exact words, but he basically said, like, the leaving cert is it, like, you need this, like, you won't do anything else if you don't have this. And they just made it out like this is the be all and end all. Like I used to get, now that I think back, like, can you remember me getting comments on me report card saying she talks too much, like, she's always chatting, she's always talking. Like, you weren't allowed to wear nail varnish, you weren't allowed to do anything. Like, they just, it was literally like a prison sometimes. Like, they put so much pressure on students, like, school is the only thing. Like, like, students and kids have so much going on outside and other stuff, like, that parents, that family, and then when you're in school, there's no consideration for that. Like, it's just like school, work, leave, and say it's like get done, go to college. Like, there's no, like,
wasn't very humanic. It wasn't
no,
how much,
like,
you as a human being.
Yeah, that it wasn't like person centered at all. It was just like, this was the way you come in, you do your work, and it was like just like they had a structure, and that's how it went. Like, they had that counselling session, but only certain people went to that. And yeah, it was just like, it was just mad pressure, like, on people, and it was never any consideration. Like, say I had that going on, and other people have other things. There was never any of that. Like, they never took any of that into consideration when you're in school. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, and I didn't know that at the time. And you know, I was pissed off with your teacher ever saying that you're worried about, because I get it, they were just worried about the remarks. But when they say that, like, to you, that they're worried that there's something really bad going to happen, and I was like, because obviously I value education, but I don't put all my eggs in the basket and say the leaving cert is the it be and end. I used to say I did always used to say to you, look, you will may have to go looking for it if you need it, but it's not the be and end of. And if you're happy with, if you don't get the marks that you want to get, that you'll have to live it, and these are the consequences. But I was more interested in you and I having a certain relationship that would go beyond the leaving cert or school that we'd have forever. And I wasn't going to bust your balls and us falling out for it. I just told you the consequences and try to talk you through that. And in hindsight, I'm glad we did go down that path, knowing what you were going through, the sexuality and all that kind of stuff. And again, I was so proud and so inspired, because I was thinking, how did she handle that? Because again, I was looking through my eyes at your age. I started drinking when I was 12, taking drugs when I was 13, and I no consciousness, no awareness of life, and you handled all that.
Yeah. I don't know, I think I was just like faking it or something. I feel like I was just always like, I don't know, like I just kind of like, say with being like not caring what people thought, like obviously you can't help care what people thought, but I just had it, like I was always just like, just don't care, and then eventually you just don't, like I was just at worst, like you know people are going to say stuff and it doesn't matter either way, so it's just like, just pretend like you don't care, and then eventually it was just like, I just don't care. Do you know what I mean? Like, when you're younger, you're like, you can't help but think about, oh, what's this person gonna say? What's this person gonna say? But I just eventually learned to, like, whatever.
Do you think, you know, people are talking now about social media and things are changing. Do you think it's harder on kids now growing up than it was for you?
Oh, 100%. Like, even for, like, my little sister, she's only 10, and I don't know, I just can't remember being the way she was when I was that young. There's, like, I feel like there's so much expectations now for kids. Like my little sister there the other day is asking me for a Canada Goose jacket for her birthday, like, and I'm like, Leah, do you even know how much that costs? Like, and then I go to Megan, like, I'm saying this stuff to her, and then that was literally me. Like, you know what I mean? That was literally me. And that's what I was saying to, like, at the time, I'm like, oh, please just pay the 800 for the flight. And now looking back, I'm going, I wouldn't pay that 800, like, for definitely, like, even stuff like, but, like, what I'm saying is about the jacket, like, that's a designer jacket. That stuff like that, none of that was out when we were kids. There was Nike or whatever. Like, I was going to say getting clothes, like me three sets of clothes and me runners or whatever, like that had to happen. But now I feel like we all say got our three sets of clothes, but we'd all get different clothes and runners. Now it's all, you wear these jackets, you wear these runners, you wear this tops, like, you know, there's more pressure to look a certain way. And I just feel like kids are grown, like Leah's growing up a lot quicker than I did. I feel like kids are a little bit more advanced. Like, I feel like Leah is like 10 now, but she's actually a lot older than 10. She's 10, but she goes on like she's a lot older. I don't know. I just feel like we grew up a little bit, I don't know, slower? More advanced. Yeah, a little bit slower. Okay, like, you know.
Kids are growing up quick. Is that due to social media? Is that due to exposure?
Yeah, like, because a lot of the things that, like, Leah can just, like, kids can, I'm just using Leah as an example because she's 10, she's young or whatever, but they just have their phone, they can go online, look up anything, like, go on TikTok, go on Instagram, and it's just all there for
them. It's all accessible.
Yeah, like, I remember, like, I still have my iPod, and you go back on it, and we use Viber instead of WhatsApp, and Snapchat now is, like, the amount of stuff you can do on it. Like, Snapchat, I still have it on my iPad, it doesn't charge, and you literally have your few friends and you could just send Snapchats back and forward. Now you can put up stories, you can use stickers, you have memories. Like, it's mad, like, when I look back on that, the difference between what's on that iPad. Like, I have messages from girls from years ago and it's like saying this fella sent her an honest opinion. Like, the kids just don't do that nowadays. Like, you know, hey Joe, like, gorgeous, funny sound. Like, I just see that as real innocent. Like, now Leah would be like looking at me real weird. Like, you know, it's like, oh, it's TikTok and Snapchat and
it's images, isn't
yeah,
it?
Now? Yeah, yeah,
like,
yeah.
Image is a big one. Like, there's no room for being yourself, isn't there, as well? That kind of image and being having to be a certain way, kids can't just be themselves. I'm sure
they
can't.
Oh yeah, definitely. No. Like, I feel like kids just feel like they have to be a certain way, and it's just like they don't see it at the time, but it's just it's boring. Like, you know, you don't, like, when they're at the time, they're like, oh yeah, I want to fit in or whatever, but eventually you don't, like, you as a kid you're like, oh, I want to do what everyone else is doing. Then when you get older, you realize how stupid, because that's just what happens at the time, but you realize, like, I should have never tried to fit in, but you should just do your own thing from the start. Like,
would that be your words of wisdom to your sister or to any young kids?
Oh, definitely. Just,
and adults as well. I made a video the other day, and you've seen it probably. Are you a chameleon or are you a flamingo? Do you show up or fit in? And it's about showing up, isn't it? And being your authentic self.
Mm-hmm. Like, it's like, I just feel like, of course, when you're like, you can't, you're not gonna be able to stop it, like with kids trying to fit in and wanting all the same stuff as everybody else, but like, you eventually realize that you just, that's not what you want, you know what I mean? Some people obviously do, they stay doing that, like, you know, with the, whatever they want to do, like fitting in, this clothes or whatever like that, but probably majority of the people eventually realize that that's not them and they do their own thing anyway, so just, I'd say, might as well just do your own thing from the start, like.
Let's talk about teachings, right? Teachings, and I've said this to you before, and how you've taught me. What you've taught me as a father is patience and kindness and compassion. You are very kind and compassionate to me. When I was struggling, you know, like, I went for diagnosis of ADD, attention deficit, you know, fucking me mind to be going bananas. Yeah, you'd be like, you're gone. Like, me and you be having a conversation.
And I'd just stop.
And it just would be miles away. But you used to be very patient, you're really kind with me. And that taught me loads. And I have to reflect upon that. And I want to thank you for that.
No problem. I feel like that was I feel like it's easier to do that with people when you know there's good intentions. Like, I knew you weren't doing that just to irritate me or to annoy me. Like, that was just, it's just happening to you. So, do you know what was the point?
That's a great point. That and see, that's what came across with me. You were patient with me, and you knew, like, that I wasn't disinterested.
Yeah, like, you weren't doing it just because she's recommended. I don't listen to her. Like, I knew it was just. Just the way you are, like.
I get distracted in my mind, and I just get lost. A thought came into my head, you'd say something, would trigger something, and I'd be gone.
Mm.
But then when you would pull me back, say, Dad, you're gone, I'd come back. And then I used to give myself an awful time about, oh, geez, you weren't listening. And then you and I would have parted, you'd be gone. I'd have given myself an awful time. Yeah. But you taught me patience, kindness, not taking it personal.
Yeah,
I think that comes from our relationship as well, doesn't it?
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, when you know that, like, say if it's someone that, I don't know, like someone in your family that you don't really get along with or whatever, like, I don't think I would have had as much patience. Like, I feel like if you know the person doesn't have bad intentions, like, I knew you weren't just doing that because you wanted to or I was irritating you. Like, I knew that's just what happened, so what was the point of me getting annoyed over, like, because it was going to happen anyway, so yeah. I was just going to get annoyed and...
And that's deadly. And I always felt like you knew me and understood me then when I realised that. And then when I started putting out the videos, now when I started on this book or the work of the Magic Minds podcast, you were the first one I sent my video. I made a video and I put it out, you know.
I remember the first time you texted me and you were like, oh, I need to set up a Facebook page. Can you set this up and will you manage it and all for me? And I was like on the Facebook and then it was like, it was too much, like you had got a few followers or something, and like I had school or I had college or work or whatever, and you were like, oh no, I need someone else to do this. Like, I remember from the very start, like, of you set, I set up the Facebook page and then sent you over the details and all. You were sending me the videos. Yeah, I remember that. Like,
I sent you the video and I says, is this me? Because I wanted to be authentic, I want to be genuine, and nobody knows me like you do.
So I
sent you over the video and I was like, is this me?
Yeah.
And you were like, yeah, that's you, that. Because the stuff I wanted to talk about, I wanted people to know that it was honest and real.
Yeah, like, I feel like that the way you are now, like, I feel like you've always been like that, but just, it's just been portrayed in a different way, like, because you had your struggles or whatever. I feel like the way you are now, it's always been there, but it's just, you weren't able to show it properly. Do you know what I mean? Like, because you had your struggles, like, yeah.
And you said that when you read the book, you were like, watch it, don't pull out a camera. If you lean back in this. I remember you reading the book. Shameless plug. You were like, oh, you talk about that, being an actor for so many years, and you didn't see all that, did you?
Yeah, it's mad. Like, I was only saying to Megan and our ma, like, when you gave me the book that day, we were just talking about it or whatever, and I was saying, like, it's mad because, like, we grew up together. Like, not grew up, but, like, I grew up with you. But the stuff you talk about in that book, like, if you didn't tell me, I would be none, like, I'd be none the wiser. I just wouldn't know. Like, I thought everything was, as I say to Megan, like, everything was rosy for me. Like, I thought, like, the world was great. Like, I had, I was buzzing, like, you know. Like, honestly, I didn't, oh, my dad was deadly. I go to my nanny's, I come stay here. Like, I was living my best life. Like, I didn't know any of that was going on. Like, it's, like, I remember I said to you in the car one day, I said, like, I could actually, like, sit here and say you're lying. Like, I could say that's not true. And you were like, that's mad. Like, I think that she said, oh, that's, he's selling his all, like, you know, it's all fake.
It's all a spoon.
Yeah, literally, yeah. Because what's in the book is not what I explain. Like,
I just, I really, truly believe that I was just a great actor. Just, you know, I used to put it on. I tried my damnedest never to be drunk around you.
Yeah, like,
a lot of times I was locked.
Yeah, I remember, like, you were saying to me, like, I'd come and stay here. Like, you'd say, oh, I'm going for a pint. And I'd be like, yeah, grand, I'd love that, because I'd be able to stay out with my friends. And then it would make, well, you'd be going in, I'd be going in. And I, like, I'd say maybe once or twice I might have copped, you'd have a drink on you, and then you said to me, like, you would be drunk, and I genuinely would not know. Like, I can't remember one night being here that, like, I ever thought, oh my god, like, he's locked or anything. Like, I just don't have any recollection.
I just never wanted you to experience, I just never wanted you to feel that, but I still couldn't fucking help myself from getting gargled and just numbing the pain or whatever like that. Can we talk about what we talk about tonight?
Oh, yeah.
Me sound advice.
Yeah,
me good example of sound advice. I wouldn't say it was advice, but it was just fatherly chats.
Yeah.
So I was obviously aware that girls have girls' problems. So I was like, girls have girl problems, periods, obviously. And how do I broach that? And I want to be like a modern father. I want to talk.
Change the stigma.
So I want to change that. I'm gonna have the chat with her. And I told this to the girls in the job, and all, they were absolutely horrified.
Yeah.
I was like, I've nothing to relate to other than the fact that I had three dogs, bulldogs, and one of them was a female. And
like, I loved the dogs as it was, so, like, at the time, that was, like, the perfect example. They're, like, so involved in the dogs, and they were just like, yeah, that was a good example.
So I explained to you that, like, Dottie goes through a thing called he, and I remember saying to you, I think you're about 9 or 10. Dottie goes through a thing called he. She's preparing herself for having puppies, but she'll give off some blood, and then when she's ready to have the puppies with another dog, I don't think I went into the sex part.
Yeah, I don't think I think it was more just like the period part.
Yeah, and I was saying, and that's what happens.
And then the babies come on the puppies.
But you're just getting ready for that. And I says, and that's you, and I relate it back to you.
Yeah.
But then you thought that when you seen the blood all
around.
Yeah,
I was like, what am I? I was probably thinking, like, Dottie going around. Because remember, like, you had cream chairs, and she'd be jumping up on the chair, there'd be blood on the chair. I was thinking, my poor little brain was probably saying, oh, I'd stay in for the week, or I'll be dripping, like, you know. I don't know what I was thinking at the time. Because, like, I don't know whether when you said this to me, had we already talked about it in school? Like, I think they talk to you about it in sixth class, maybe. So I don't even know if I was in sixth class yet. So I can't remember if I had already been told by the school, or this was the first I'd heard. Like, but even, like, for you, I was saying to Megan's ma last week, like, she was worried about one of the kids having to tell our dad, like, and I was like, it's grand, my dad, with me saying, oh, my dad told me about that, like, girl, like, my friends and all at the time would have been like, what? Like, I remember one of my friends finding it weird that we went to the, like, we'd go on a day out to the cinema and feel, remember I told you?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
So, like, for you to be telling me this, it was like, what? Like, this is like, that just doesn't happen. Like, people would die rather than,
oh, I know, I was like, nah, fuck that, I'm gonna tell. But I think it's usually important that you and I go to pictures, we hang out, like, we're going to hang out today, we're going to go get food. And I just think it's really important. I just think if I couldn't be in all your life, as we said in the start, I just think it's important. What words of wisdom would you give to girls of your age, or girls growing up, you know, and their father's not living at home? Like I'd give my piece of advice would be, do as much as you can when you can.
Mm.
Like, you know, if you can do the one day a week, spend as much time, invest in it. Go to cinemas, go to walk, go to parks, go to anything. It doesn't have to be expensive.
Yeah.
Just has to be invest in the time if you don't live at home with your kids. Because that's the thing we think, and I still, even with my own, like, I don't live with me now, that, like, I'm missing out on so much and I won't have an imprint in our life and blah, blah, blah. So what I do with her, like I did with you, is spend loads of time or quality time. I think I'm more present with Mia. Sorry, Shannon.
I got me years.
I got it. I'm a bit more present now. What's your words of wisdom to?
I don't know if they're words of wisdom, but I just think that there's such a stigma where people think like, oh, like it's a bad thing if you don't live with your man, dad, or like, oh, you don't live with your dad, do you have your dad around, you know, that sort of thing. Like, but I just think it really doesn't make a difference whether you live together or not. Like, we had the relationship that we had, and we didn't live together, so I wouldn't let that impact it, like that the fact that you don't live together, even if you don't live close. Like what you said, just spend the time together that you can, and like with people asking, oh, like, does your man and dad not live together, and you know, like that.
Is that changing? Is that like, is there still a stigma about, like, I remember years ago, oh, you don't leave with your dad, you don't see your dad.
Yeah, I feel like that kind of still would, not as much as it probably was years ago, but I think there still kind of would be like around that, oh yeah, my man, like. I didn't feel it as much because, as I said, like, I just wasn't impacted by it. But I still do think that people kind of, that does affect people, like, saying that they're not the man, they aren't together. And, I still think that there's a little, not as much as years ago, but I still think that would be years ago, whereas, like, 4 years ago. Like, yeah, I feel like that would still be around, like, and some people would still feel that. But yeah, just like what you said, just any time, spending time together is the same as living together. Like, and I think, to be honest, I think us not living together, like, made it even better. Like, I feel like we wouldn't have had such a good relationship if we did live together. Mm. So I mean, because like I was saying with my man, like, we were on top of each other, killing each other or whatever, like, where we didn't have that chance to do that.
Yeah, like, yeah. So, you know? Jesus, yeah, that's fair play to poor Rosie getting it in the neck.
Put up with
my demon. I do really think it's important to spend that quality time, isn't it? You have to put the hours in.
And I just don't think the fact that you don't live together, I really just don't think that affects it at all. I just don't think it's a big deal, like, that you don't live together. Like, you see them once they're involved with you, you know what I mean? That's the same as, like, just because you don't live together, and like, you being involved with me and us living together and you being involved, like, do you know what I mean? You still made an impact even though we didn't live together, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, so. It's mad. And I, like, this is the thing, I hung up my hat as a father. I believe my relationship with you now, I'm just a wiser in certain areas person. I took the thing right off that. And just to see you, listen to you, watch you do your daily stuff, your life, the way you live your life, I'm like, fucking wow, like, you carry yourself so well. I'm so proud of you. It's just phenomenal. I look at you not as an extension of me, as an individual, and Jesus Christ, I'm so proud. Like, I write in the book that I was given gifts. You were a gift then to keep me alive. Same with me coming along, and it's just phenomenal. I'm so proud of you. Like, I love you so much. You're just the best kid ever.
Thanks. You too.
Right, I think that's it, unless you want to share anymore.
No, I don't think we have any other stories, do we?
That was deadly. I absolutely love that. I just love hanging out with you and spending time. I'm blessed. I'm absolutely blessed. Right, so there you go. Shauna Bourke, my daughter. Well, we think, till we get the test. So that leaves us, all we have to say is thanks very much for watching and listening. Shout out to Noel Riley from Rooney Media Graphics, Andy from Liberty Media Hub, the girls from Shannon's Hope Line, Lise and Sandra doing amazing work, the lads from Liberty's Soup Run, Fran and Git, phenomenal work in the Liberties. I have my book. If you'd like to buy it, go on to the website www.magicminds.ie or send me an email at matt@magicminds.ie. What else? We're looking for people that want to collaborate with us. It's a mental health toolkit. It's a 52-week gratitude journal. It illustrates how I've moved from my head to my heart using love, kindness, compassion, understanding and forgiveness. And it's changed my life. As I said before in the last interview, that, you know, I had difficulties from September to December worrying about this. For all the stuff in this, all the work that I've done, I put into this, I put into place. I live this stuff, you know. I know how to mind my little self, and I use this, not just words in a book. So if you'd like to collaborate with us, give us a shout. Same with Junior Genius, get your logo on the front, get some information, advertisement in the middle, in the start there, and then we'll plug it on the podcast and we collaborate together. You know, if it's somebody that wants to improve the staff's mental health, your family, your community. We're open to work with anyone. We've already got a couple of collaborations going on, and if you'd like to do that with us, we'd be absolutely honoured. So for myself and Andy, mind your little self. As always, if you're kind to you, you're kind a person to your family and your community. Please subscribe, share with people. You'll find us on YouTube, iTunes, all the podcast service. Have a fantastic day. Thanks a lot, love. Namaste. Take care, buddy.